Well, brothers and sisters, we'd like to get started. We're so happy so many could be here.
Amen.
And as you notice, there are some children in the center and as well as on the periphery. And if you're a parent, we want you to know that's fine. Amen. And if you're not a parent and you're not used to crying, screaming, and whining, you just have to tolerate it. Because we want as many brothers and sisters to be here as possible.
Amen.
Well, if you're here, it's probably because you heard an announcement directly or indirectly, or you received an email, and it had this phrase, working saints. You might wonder, what do we mean by working saints, and where did we get that term? Well, that term came from Brother Lee in this book, Messages Given to the Working Saints. And if you read it, specifically page 61 in chapter 6, he points out that the working saints should be the backbone of the Lord's recovery, meaning that they would be those who bear the burden for all the churches.
Amen.
And bear the burden for the Lord's move.
Amen.
And he goes on to define somewhat what that group is. And he says the young saints and the middle-aged. So when we say working saints, we don't necessarily mean that you have a 9-to-5 job. Perhaps you're done with your education, whether it be a trade or college, or you're in graduate school, or you're raising a family, or indeed you are a working saint keeping a job 9-to-5. But that this time is open to all of you.
Amen.
That's what it's for. Well, I don't know how many have come to a fellowship time like this in the last several years. I can tell you it started about 9 years ago. And typically when we gather together, what we've been fellowshipping about is that our generation, the working saints, would begin to transition and take on the burden and responsibility for the church life.
Amen.
And we're still very burdened for that.
Amen.
And I think it's fair to say over the 9 years, while we still have a very long way to go, I believe there has been some progress. Well, today, again, it's not that we're not burdened for the local church life, but as the brothers who were getting together to fellowship, well, what would we cover during this time? The more we fellowshipped and the more we prayed, we had a sense from the Lord that we should cover the Lord's move to Europe.
Amen.
The more we fellowshipped, the more of a positive feeling we had. When we opened this up to the co-worker brothers, they had a resounding amen as well.
Amen.
And so that's what we'd like to fellowship about today.
Amen.
Of course, this burden isn't something new. We've been fellowshipping about it in the Lord's recovery for many years. But in about the last 6 months, I'd say this burden has really intensified.
Amen.
So what we'd like to spend our time today is there won't be any really open sharing, but we've asked a number of saints to fellowship and give their testimony. Really, what we want from this time is that we would have an awareness concerning the Lord's move to Europe, that we'd see the way that our generation can participate, and finally, that through prayer and contacting the Lord, our generation would enter in.
Amen.
To begin to bear the burden for the Lord's move to Europe.
Amen. 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 So I'll take the lead to give my brief testimony. So I was first touched by this burden in 2006 when I was still in the full-time training. And through many desperate prayers, you know, my heart was set to go to Europe. But as the Lord had it, I was led to go into medical school instead. So inwardly, I felt like, you know, I did not respond to the Lord's calling. But through Brother Joe Davis's fellowship in the church in Houston in around 2007, 2008, he encouraged us to find time to go to Europe and just to be there for a while. So he specifically said, if you can go there for a month, that's great. So I had this big board exam coming up that I need to spend maybe 6 weeks or so to study. So I thought instead of studying in Houston, you know, in my home, I can take my books and I can go and study in the UK, right? So I did that. And when I did that, what he said became my reality. He said that if you go there and just spend time there, not even just to visit for a short time, but just to be there, then the saints and the situations really enter into your heart. And as a result of being there, the saints got into my heart, and I got into their heart. So there's a lot of mutual prayers. And so for the next 8 years or so, I visited Europe at least once every year on average. And through every time going, my burden was just renewed. And so what I have learned through these time are a couple of lessons. One is that we need to look for ways to go to Europe. Amen. Europe is not a place where it will just welcome you to come. But we have to utilize opportunities either through our work, our research, or whatever it is, and find the opportunities to go. Amen. And of course, we go not out of ourselves, right? We go in fellowship with the Lord and in fellowship with the body. But we still need to grant the Lord the human cooperation so that he can work out something practical in our situations. And then the second lesson I learned is that after I came back from some of these trips, I was burdened and I began to pray with a few others in Houston. And we would pray on and off for about 3 years weekly. And what I've touched is that actually sustaining such a prayer time in some ways is harder than just the act of physically going to Europe. Because the warfare is really won in prayer. And so when you begin to touch this matter of warfare, then the enemy really starts to attack. So today you'll hear testimonies, and we want to highlight that our participation by prayer is just as important and just as critical as our physically going. But all these ways of going are not mutually exclusive. And then finally, what touched me a lot is that whenever I go, I'm there on the front line. I meet brothers like Jacob. You know, they're just there. They're just there for the Lord. And I can sense that there's a real desperation. There's a real struggle. You know, saints, they get attacked, you know, physically, you know, their health, their family, financially, socially, you know, psychologically, even spiritually. And so there's a real atmosphere of warfare when I'm there. But then when I come back home in North America, I'm in my comfortable life, I'm in my, you know, even my comfortable, secure church life, and I'm just caught up with the daily necessities. And I forget what's going on over there. You know, so every time I go, and the brothers there have this analogy, they said that they're there on the front line, and sometimes it seems like they're looking for reinforcement from North America, you know, either through prayer, you know, giving, or going. But yet, when I come here, it seems like there is a disconnect between, you know, at least I can speak for myself, my own church life and personal life from what is going on over there. For some reason, it just seems that we just lose sight of what is happening there in Europe. So we hope that our burden for this time is that through the testimonies, you'll get some reports, right? You get some wartime reports, and these reports will wake us up to show us what is really happening over there in Europe. And the burden is that we will all participate, right, in our situation, right? Either by praying, by giving, or by going, we will cooperate with our Lord so that he can gain our entire generation to participate in his move today. So we will have the saints to come up in groups, and they will give their testimonies.
Amen. Amen. So I will be reading a testimony from a sister who is a stay-at-home mom in Irving, Texas. I've always been burdened for Europe, but because of my immigration status in the USA, I can't be among the saints that migrate to Europe. For several years, there has been a group of saints in Irving that has been praying and continuing to pray for the Lord's move in Europe. And for some time, I was able to join the saints in those prayer times. Being the only young and single person at the time, it was a blessing to see how the Lord would answer our fervent prayers to send some saints to Europe, especially to Italy. At one point, some of the serving saints came in contact with two Italian students from a community college in Irving. These two students later received the Lord, and a couple that had migrated to Italy then met with the family of these students in Italy. This answered one of our many prayers, that the Lord will put the saints in contact with Italian-speaking students and families. For me, it was so sweet to see how the Lord would answer each of our prayers. Because our prayers were not for ourselves, it has been for the sake of the Lord's return and the preparation of his bride. Amen. Whenever I used to hear that someone was migrating to Europe, inwardly I felt somewhat sad because it wasn't me who was going. But through these prayer times, I've come to realize that the saints going to Europe is also my going. Amen. I may not be there physically, but I'm there in spirit and in prayer. Amen. But if the Lord wants my family to migrate to Europe, I have no doubt in my being that the Lord in his time would open up the way for us. Amen. In the meantime, we can all continue to work together by praying and petition.
Amen. Amen. The second testimony on prayer is from a sister who is serving on campus in Atlanta, Georgia. I was first touched with the Lord's move to Europe while in college in the early 2000s. I personally began praying and giving regularly, apart from my tithing, to the Lord's move to Europe. When in the full-time training, a fellow trainee sister was touched by a word we received and asked three of us sisters to pray with her specifically and exclusively for the Lord's move to Europe. The four of us prayed weekly for about 15 to 20 minutes for the rest of our three terms. After graduating the training and serving for almost a year, I went to London to visit a sister who migrated there from my locality. I came back with the intention to migrate there, but it was not the Lord's timing, and the brothers asked me to move to another locality in the States. After moving there, I resumed a weekly prayer time with a sister in which we pray for specific burdens from the Aid My Freedom list. I got married in 2012, and my husband was likewise burdened for this move. And even before we got married, we were clear with each other that our intention was to participate in the Lord's move as he would lead. We visited London together in 2014 to see if we could move there, but a few personal situations made it unwise to move at that time. Currently, I am in Germany visiting for one of the 5-week trips. And again, my husband's and my burden is to find a way to move here. Our burden for ourselves and our generation is that we would have the proper response to this repeated call to move. We don't want to miss the Lord's calling. The four living creatures in Ezekiel chapter 1 went wherever the Spirit was to go, and also whenever the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. These words, wherever and whenever, touched me to open to the Lord more concerning our participation and the practical way to work it out. We are in fellowship with the brothers where we are, and we believe the Lord will so lead.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
This is my wife, Rebecca. My name is Sean Bodie. We're from the church in New York City.
Amen.
In the winter training in 2015, there was some sort of a fellowship regarding the move to Europe. And we attended this. And from that point on, we were touched. We were stirred up. And through being touched and stirred up, we had the feeling that we did not want to just go on our own accord because we were touched and we were stirred up. So we prayed.
Amen.
And following that, we had the feeling to have some fellowship. And we had some fellowship with the brother from our locality. And in this fellowship, he encouraged us to attend the gospel trip to Germany. And in doing so, he said, you know, maybe you'll get some more feeling and there would be some affirmation to your feeling. And in going, we had some affirmation. We really enjoyed being with the saints there, and we prayed some more.
Amen.
And I guess over the course, you know, since that gospel trip, which took place last summer, you know, we've prayed several times. I would say that maybe our prayer has not been so consistent. However, we still have prayed, and our heart is still open to the Lord.
Amen.
Following the move to Europe. Our heart is really just open to follow the Lamb wherever he may go.
Amen.
And if he is leading us to Germany, then praise him for that.
Amen.
You know, our heart is just open. I would say that, you know, through our experience of prayer, it's not so consistent like we would want it to be. And the reason for that is because the enemy attacks the prayer, right? The only way the Lord can have what he wants is by us praying. And I tell you, the Lord has really touched us to just set aside an appointment with the Lord to have a time with him on a weekly basis.
Amen.
And in this, the Lord would really be able to gain what he needs.
Amen.
And speak to us in the way he wills.
Amen.
You know, one thing that we've been touched with is that through our prayer, there has been no lack of peace. And to us, that has been an encouragement. There has been peace in this consideration. So we are considering We are hoping to move within the next year if we feel the peace to. Hoping to make a decision by September, Lord willing. But that's our testimony, that we would just, keep this time with the Lord in prayer so that the Lord could speak to us.
Amen.
And we would answer his call.
Amen.
Because the Lord is speaking, and he is calling some of us, but he needs those that would open to him in prayer to answer his calling.
And I think just further to that, I think one thing that has become clear to us in our prayer is the desire for the Lord to be the initiator. And I think this message last night was really something that reinforced that within me, to realize that we really do need the Lord to be our source and the initiator of all the work and service that we do, and also for us to be, for his advancement to be by his power and not by our strength, and so that the result would be for his glory. And I'm just touched that this needs to be the framework of my mode of operation. And even in my prayer life, I think it's very easy for us to be driven by an emotional response or even a desire to meet a need that exists. But it's so key, I realize, and so crucial, especially in these matters regarding migration or just in our prayer life or in our daily church life, to realize that this needs to be the framework of all our service.
Amen.
This next testimony is from a brother who is serving on the campus in Lubbock, Texas. I first began to have a feeling for what the Lord was doing in Europe when I was in college and came into the church life. Throughout my time in the FTTA, the speaking regarding the Lord's feeling for Europe grew stronger and stronger. After serving about a year in my home locality, I felt the Lord calling me strongly to migrate, so I applied to migrate to serve in Europe. But due to financial situations, there was not a way for me to go. This was initially discouraging to me, but because I still had so much feeling, I printed out a map of England and on my own prayed for the localities in the UK, as well as several other countries. I don't claim to have been very thorough in these prayers, but I at least tried to make mention of these places to the Lord about twice a week. Sovereignly, the Lord caused me to meet a brother who was also very burdened for Europe. He asked if we could pray regularly by phone, which we kept up on and off for about 4 years. Even though the door was closed to me to migrate, the Lord has made the two other ways of going to Europe precious to me. Anytime there is an opportunity to give to something going on in Europe, we take it, even though we don't have much, and even though the amount may be small. We consider this an honor, and where our money goes, our heart goes. Amen. Additionally, although I am not serving in Europe, I view my service on the college campus as being for the Lord's move in Europe. Amen. I frequently pray that the Lord will give us the very best off these campuses for his move in Europe, not only in my locality. When I was still in college, I read something that Witness Lee spoke of a brother at his memorial meeting, like the following: he was always 1,000% for the Lord and the church life. After I read that, I prayed to the Lord that others would say that also about me. Now, years later, I am in my 30s. I have a wife and two kids. More and more, I want to be 1,000% for Christ and the church. I'm not an elder or responsible brother or anything. I'm just another serving brother in the church. But I want to be 1,000%. Saints, my age, we don't have the time to be any other way. Our time is running out. We don't know how much time we have. Now is the time for us to pour out while we have little kids who scream and throw tantrums. The time is not later. When our kids are grown up on their own, our houses are paid off or whatever, we have only now. I don't want to have the Lord to tell me when I meet him that I missed the opportunity to take care of his heart regarding Europe. May the Lord gain this, not just in the older faithful saints, not just in the young and zealous college students, but with us. Amen. Yes, we have legitimate responsibilities related to family and work, but we live for something else.
Amen.
Lord, may your burden for Europe penetrate us thoroughly.
Amen.
Yes, so fundamentally we live for something other than ourselves.
So when my wife and I had our first date, I remember sitting across the picnic table and saying, if you marry me, we will serve the Lord. And you know what that means? You'll never be rich, for one. But our life will be in every way for him. And she stayed at the table. And within a year of that, there was an announcement regarding another trumpeting of the burden for Europe. And my wife and I were still learning to be one with one another. But I said amen. She said amen. But in the fellowship of the churches, the Lord has had me in a certain place. Actually, I've moved 3 times, but in a particular region. And there's never been the open door for me to go otherwise. So what I've done in my prayer and in my giving, I've joined the Lord. Amen. But furthermore, I've joined with some other saints. And over the last 4 years, we started visiting with a view of, at first, opening up businesses in Europe. So we went as entrepreneurs and discovered certain obstacles, and so we shifted a little bit. Actually, if you really have a will, there will be a way. And so we shifted a little bit. And instead of trying to set up something over there, we started inviting ones from over there to the training, to the semi-annual training in Anaheim. And so currently, I think we've supported maybe 40 to 50 paid their ways to come to the training, to participate, to join us, and to enter into the fellowship of the churches. This is another way. The objective is that the Lord's recovery would spread, but it spreads in our hearts. I still remember a dear sister from Prague who was at the last semi-annual training, and while she was sitting with us in our study group, she just had to testify, I'm seeing the Lord's recovery. I'm seeing what it is. And it just so happened that I had pneumonia at that time, and I was just barely struggling to stay there. But I realized, this is why I do this. That the Lord's recovery would go, not merely in an outward way, but also in an intrinsic way. Amen. Through seeing what the recovery really is. So we've been supporting these ones, and since the last training, the saints that I was coordinating with mentioned that the funding has run dry, meaning there was no more way to support ones to come. So they said, we have to stop. But I opened to the brothers that are in the region of churches that in which I coordinate, and the response was, amen, let's pick it up. So we are currently fellowshipping with the brothers over there, and we're inviting ones and paying for their way to come to the training, to join in the riches that we have in the Lord's recovery. Amen. That the vision that we see would go there. Amen. Actually, if we gain bodies but we don't gain a vision, we haven't really gained anything. So may we cooperate with the Lord in whatever way he affords us for the spreading of his recovery.
Amen.
Amen. My name is Solus. This is a European name. I was born in Europe. So this is my wife, Gloria. She will speak about migration more, and I'll add something later.
Amen. So currently we're serving in Birmingham, England. And I was first touched by the Lord regarding Europe in my first term of the full-time training in Anaheim, when we were covering the world situation and the direction of the Lord's move during a Monday night revival meeting. When I heard that the spreading of the Lord's recovery to Europe would be a preparation for the Lord's coming back and is the direction of his final move, I just felt that it would be such a privilege to be a part of it. So I just took this matter to the Lord and prayed, and the Lord just gave me Isaiah 6:8 as my response. Here I am, here am I, send me.
Amen.
And so in my fourth term, they announced the beginning of a third-year extension training in Boston, and the Lord led me to go. So in Boston, my experience of being led to migrate to Europe was just characterized by what many have mentioned, just prayer and fellowship. Just learning to spend personal time with the Lord and wait on him. And then, so when the fellowship or the call came regarding some who might migrate or go to Europe, I continued just to bring it to the Lord and to seek him. And through that prayer, it just led me to fellowship with the brothers who are taking care of the training at the time, and they would continually fellowship with us regarding this burden as well. So I would just pray, fellowship with them and the other saints. And so my experience is just the more, the vertical fellowship just brought me, with the head, just brought me to the horizontal fellowship in the body.
Amen.
And these things really just took care of any obstacles, either inwardly in my being or outwardly in my circumstances, till the Lord just opened the way. So eventually when there was a clear confirmation, inwardly and in the body, there was just a flood of joy and peace that I could be able to go and participate. And in my going, I felt like I wasn't going just with a personal burden or going by myself, but I really felt covered, and my going was in the body.
Amen.
And even with many who couldn't go, but they were going in my going.
Amen.
We're in the UK, we're going through the morning revival that was covering the recent conference regarding the special fellowship concerning the world situation. And I was just touched by this one point on the outline. It says, if we pray in fellowship, we honor the Lord as the head of the body, and we will also have the assurance that it is the Lord who is leading us. Then after we move to a certain place, we will have the assurance that the Lord sent us there, and we will never regret our move, no matter what the outward situation may be.
Amen. Amen. So I just... Well, of course there's a need, and I think the need is very clear through the ministry, and as a European, I want to say that I'm eternally grateful for those who came.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Jacob and Jessica Cheng, we've lived over the past 7 years in Israel, London, and now Zurich, Switzerland. We have two young children who were both born abroad. Our testimony is that inwardly, we've just been following the sense of life and peace.
Amen.
And outwardly, taking small practical steps to follow the Lord. We prayed about migrating, but we also visited Europe for several years before we moved. And there, we've had a number of sweet experiences and dealings with the Lord that we wouldn't have had here in the States.
We moved from a big, structured, busy church life to a small locality where the saints are geographically scattered and there's no table meeting. And this was a real test to us. We were left on our own to figure out how to survive without a structured church life. And I faced the typical struggles of a mom, you know, taking care of the kids, making dinner at the end of a crazy, tiring day, and finding time to spend time with the Lord, but I also struggle with learning the language, Swiss German, and struggle with adjusting to a different lifestyle in Zurich. And sometimes I feel lonely and discouraged without regular contact with the saints, but there's been a handful of faithful older Swiss saints who have been there for decades.
Amen.
And I'm always encouraged and supplied to see these saints go on, even without a structured church life.
Amen.
These saints pursue the Lord and endeavor to stay in the up-to-date ministry.
Amen.
And these saints going on is my going on.
Amen.
And one time I felt very limited and couldn't do much outwardly due to the kids. And one sister told me that just to have us as a family there is a supply to the local saints. So I realized that we're not in Europe to be someone or to start something or to do an outward work, but we are just simply there to be one with the saints there with an open heart.
Amen. Three things that I learned in Europe. Europe needs ordinary working couples and families. We do need full-timers, but we also need normal families living ordinary days under the divine dispensing. The work needs a container, and the container is the church. I'm busy with work. Jessica's limited with the kids. But we have a little power.
Amen.
And we can do the best for him with what we have.
Amen.
Our family life is in the church life, and this is part of the testimony of Jesus in Europe. Secondly, God has blended the body together. When we moved abroad, I found out how American I am, and even more so how much American church life culture I have in me. We had to learn to drop everything, even our wonderful experiences in big church lives in Austin, Irvine, and Los Angeles. Learn to take the Lord as our head, to seek his instant leading, and to be one with the local saints. Third, moving to Europe is actually quite ordinary. If you take away the Lord's recovery, take away the Lord's move to Europe, take away God's economy, there's still 500,000 Americans living in Europe. They move there, take jobs, raise families, find a support structure. It's ordinary. It happens. Actually, we get help from the American expat community in our city. It's possible. So quickly, three ways to find work in Europe. What I did, I worked for a multinational company. Some of you might work for companies with offices in Europe. I talked to my manager. I said, I want to get international work experience. He said, okay, where do you want to go? We ended up in Europe. Saints, if you work, some of you might work for a European company here in the States. There's a lot of saints, I believe, who might be willing to go but don't have a practical way to go. You might have the practical way to go. Why wouldn't you take it to the Lord and have a conversation with your manager? A second way that I've seen work is to come to graduate school. A quick caveat, it seems to work better if you have work experience, then come to graduate school in Europe, and then apply for a job in Europe. Three or four brothers we know have done that in the past few years. Finally, come over as a tourist and do an intensive in-person job search. It won't work to email your resume across the pond. So we would encourage you, take a step. Amen. Get a passport. Amen. Come and visit. Amen. Talk to your manager. Amen. Look into graduate schools. Come live a normal life in the body life, under the divine dispensing. Your unremarkable life can be a supply and a pattern to the saints in Europe. Amen. And a part of the testimony in Jesus there.
Amen. I'll be reading this next testimony from Ben and Jen Gallarda, who are a working couple with three kids living in Paris, France. Regarding Europe, we were first touched by the Lord during our 2 years in the full-time training. After finishing the training, the Lord's leading and the fellowship in the body was to return to San Diego to serve on the campus. During the years we spent in San Diego serving, then going to graduate school and starting a family, our burden for Europe never diminished. In fact, Jen would regularly ask Ben to look into exchange programs in Europe related to his graduate studies, but the opportunity never came. At the beginning of Ben's final year in graduate school, he received an email about a 3-year postdoctoral fellowship in Paris, France. There was a strong response in both of us, and we brought this matter to another couple with whom we were built for fellowship and prayer. We were soon able to visit Paris with our two children for Ben to interview and eventually and to blend with the saints there. Eventually, the Lord granted Ben the research fellowship in Paris, and the body confirmed that moving to Europe was what he wanted. So we moved with our two children, a 4-year-old and an 18-month-old, in the summer of 2010. Practically, moving to Paris limited us in many ways. We initially lived in three small dorm rooms south of Paris while Jen was taking intensive French classes. We were then able to find a furnished 2-bedroom apartment with a loft in central Paris. But as the Lord kept us in Paris after Ben's research fellowship ended by opening up a permanent job, all we could afford in Paris was a 600 square foot 1-bedroom apartment due to the common rule that rent cannot be more than 1/3 of one's take-home salary. At this point, we had 3 children, ages 7, 4, and 6 months. But through this all, the Lord supplied us, amen, both with the help to move and with a precious older couple who let us stay with them for a few months during Ben's job transition. Amen. Our burden for our generation is threefold. First, we pray that we would follow the Lamb wherever he goes. Amen.
Despite the struggles and difficulties, our way in France has been clear, straight, and narrow. All of our needs have been met for our living situation, our children, and our church life. The Lord has abundantly proved that He will provide if we simply follow Him. We would therefore encourage all the saints to just follow Him should He open the way and if the fellowship and the body confirms His leading. Second, when we follow Him, particularly to a place where we may not know the language or culture, we should aspire to be pillar builders. We will never be French enough to pass for locals, although our children will be, but we can build up the French ones we care for to be the pillars in the Lord's move there. And third, our burden is that we could grow in maturity so that we can build on the foundation that the previous generation has left for us and come into the leadership of the church in an organic way to stand in the gap and meet the Lord's need to hasten His return.
Amen. Amen. I'm Christine. I'm originally from Baton Rouge, but now I'm studying in Berlin, Germany. Actually, when I first met the saints freshman year at LSU, I kind of jumped in, and then I heard about the Lord's move to Europe, and I immediately formulated a plan about how I was going to go to the training, and then I was going to get a job, and then I was going to move to Europe. But as my years in college went on, and then when I got to the training, I actually had a lot of concern about this, and I wasn't so open to living in Germany anymore. Anyway, but... basically, the Lord is, He's the one drawing us. He's the one initiating. It's not our plan. It's not our way. It's not our concept. And praise the Lord for that. His way is so much higher, and His way is so much sweeter. So through the training, I had a lot of fellowship about this, and I opened just a little bit more to the Lord. And I had to drop a lot of my fears and anxiety about the future. And also about like having my thought for the future of what I would do, eventually the Lord opened the way for me to go to the training in Boston, and then to serve in London, and I'm so grateful. I feel like the Lord gained so many conversations in this process. It's not what we think it would be, but the process is so precious. And through this, learning to fellowship both with the brothers and also with my sending locality, the local saints, and some vital companions, there's so many precious prayers and precious times with one another that are an assurance and a foundation for me now when I'm going through things. It's so clear that the Lord is sending in the body, that our going, it's an inward amen, and there's an amen in the body, and when you're going, you're not alone. But actually, all the saints home and all the saints, they don't even know you, but they're praying for you, and it's such a supply. So thank you so much for all of your care and all of your prayer. So my experience being there were a couple of points that are kind of lessons learned. And actually, as I'm looking over them, they're kind of lessons learned at each stage. But the first one is having steady time to eat. Though the schedule was really tough for me at first, I really need to take the time to read the Bible. And it doesn't need to be 4 hours a day, because I can't do 4 hours a day at where I am and what I'm doing. But I need to spend time in the Word, and I need to spend time in the ministry, because without that, I have no supply and I can't go on. And the other thing was to be connected to a family. This is such a salvation. We are absolutely not alone. So when we arrive, to be connected vitally, to have a human place to go, to be cherished, to have someone else to care for, it was really a salvation to me.
Amen. Amen. This next testimony is from Tim and Michelle Kafer, who are working and going to school in Brussels, Belgium, with their two kids. It is difficult in migrating to Europe to not have a subconscious thought of doing a great work, saving and gaining many locals for the church life, raising up churches, doing something grand for the Lord. Even though we know that this is not how it works, the thought and expectation remain. Our experience has been the exact opposite of this. We have been in Europe nearly 9 years, and our testimony is that we are just living a normal life, trying to find grace and receive the divine dispensing in our ordinary days. We came to Europe as master students and then continue as PhD students in order to stay. For one of us, the PhD led to a job. The other is still working on the PhD. We have had two children while living here. One of the difficulties in Europe is breaking into the local community. Especially in larger cities, there is typically a large immigrant community, and it is difficult to make contact with natives of the country. Once contact is made, it often takes time to establish a relationship and be able to share the Lord with them. In our current locality of about 40 saints, there is only one native who is solidly established in the church life. Our ongoing burden is for the Lord to gain the natives of the country. Amen. We have no glorious reports to give of numbers of contacts gained, or home meetings, or churches raised up. Yet our testimony is that it is glorious to be here, because our Lord is glorious, and His church is glorious. It is a privilege untold to follow the Lord to Europe. Amen. We would not want to be anywhere else.
This last testimony is given by Billy and Tammy Lynn, who migrated to Frankfurt, Germany about a year ago with their four kids. In the fall of 2015, we took a trip to see what the Lord was doing in Europe. During that trip, we felt a clear leading of the Lord to move us to Germany. We had the realization that the Lord had been working for some time in our environment and our being to bring us to the point where we were ready to go to respond to His call. So as soon as we got back to the U.S., we began fellowshipping, definitely about moving, and Billy requested a work transfer. As we prepared ourselves to move, we expected to encounter many hardships. We discussed lots of contingency plans, and many times we were overwhelmed by these considerations. However, once we were clear that the Lord was indeed moving in us, it became an anchor in our being. And most of the complications we expected to come never came. Billy got his job transfer. Our house sold immediately, along with most of the furniture. From the time we became clear until we moved was 4.5 months. It was clear the Lord was paving our way. He knew that with four small children and being people of little faith, we needed Him to hold our hand. And He carried us through the entire moving process. Amen. When we landed in Germany, we had no apartment, no furniture, no visa for the children or Tammy, and no school for the children. We had 12 check-in bags, 6 carry-ons, and 6 personal items. And we had contingency plans in case we had no apartment when we had to move out of our Airbnb. The Lord again was taking care of us. In 10 days, we had an apartment with working internet. Billy started working, and the kids got into school. We must testify that the Lord carried us through these first weeks and arranged every small detail to meet our need. We feel in many ways that we are the wrong ones. We have 4 small children. Billy has a full-time job. We don't speak good German, etc. But we have discovered that if no other reason than the fact that we are here, the Lord is using us. Because God has a need here, and we are here. He is using us to meet His need. Our life this past year has been quite ordinary. Tammy spends most of her time between children and housework. Billy spends a lot of time on his work. And our kids spent most of his first year in Germany sick with new germs. However, we are meeting regularly with Germans for the gospel, shepherding refugees in our home, coordinating to raise up the children and young people's work, and entering into the vital group living with the saints. In all these things, we have a direct hand in raising up His testimony in Germany. Amen. To be in His move in a practical way when He is pouring out His blessing here is indescribable. Amen.
Amen. Is this working? Hello, yeah. Okay, my name is Jameson Chen. Oftentimes I've been asked by younger saints whether I was a church kid. Well, the answer is yes and no. So let me just start from there. I don't pretend to give you a long sea story, but I think some of the details have some relevance to this fellowship. And it's always hard, you know, to talk about oneself, but I feel that some details that are pertinent I would like to share with you. And may the Lord cover this fellowship. My parents touched the recovery when they were in China. As young people and they're on their own, they got married, then they moved to Taiwan. And so they were there in the 50s, and I was born there. but, you know, my parents were young at that time, and they also aspired for a better life. So they, my father got a job in Peru. So in 1959, the whole family moved to Peru. That was the beginning of a period of isolation from the recovery, from the church life. And it was difficult. So it was kind of the wilderness experience of the family, if you will. I was saved in Peru through my mother's sharing of the gospel. But there was no shepherding. There was no growth in the spiritual life. And then after 7 years being in Peru, my parents sent me and my brother to the United States to study, to finish high school. The goal of the family was always, ultimately, the United States. And so we were in Peru. I attended a Catholic high school, a boys' school, and I saw Catholicism. I was in a dormitory. It was managed by a priest who lived there with his concubine, and he was all the time drunk. So I saw what Catholicism was all about. Then when I went to the United States, my parents sent us to a Christian boarding school. And so it was required by the Christian boarding school that all the boys and the girls on Sunday, on the Lord's Day, they had to attend one of the denominational places in town. And so I tasted Christianity at that time. 3 years later, my parents moved to the United States. That is the beginning of our reconnection with the Lord's recovery. And when they moved, it was a church in New York, no less, who wrote my parents a letter inviting them to a church conference. And it was in Stony Brook. And so my brother and I, not knowing what it was all about, my parents couldn't come because, you know, they had just arrived, migrated to the United States. We thought that we were coming to a summer camp to have fun. Anyway, by then, having tasted Christianity and having seen the young people in Christianity, when I walked into the conference, I saw young people, normal young people, but I just had the sense, these young people are different. And when I saw the saints, I realized they were different. I just had a distinct feeling that I am home. Even though I knew nothing of the truth, you know. And so these saints started asking me questions. Who are your parents? And I realized there's a historical connection. So when I went home, I asked my parents, who are these people? And then little by little, I realized this is the Lord's recovery. And so I lived here in New York 5 years. When I came to the conference, I was a sophomore in college. Then I went back and I made the decision to apply at graduate school only in New York to be in the church life here. So after I graduated, I came. During those days, we really, really appreciated the church life. We enjoyed very much the Psalms, but not in the sense of asking God for help. You know, we just loved God's house. I mean, when I was in Christianity, even though I knew nothing, I realized that was not something in God's heart. But when I touched the church, I realized this is something different. So we love the Psalms, you know, that said, one thing I have asked from Jehovah, that do I seek, to dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life. You know, how lovely are your tabernacles, O Jehovah. And then 84, right, for a day in your courts is better than 1,000. So I was in graduate school. I was in the dormitory. There was a lot of corruption, a lot of corruption. I had a roommate. And then I longed to be in the church life. I just longed to be in the church life. So when my roommate was not in the room, I will open my window, or sorry, the windows couldn't open at that time, the door was all sealed. Anyway, I knelt down in front of the window because I remembered Daniel praying towards Jerusalem. And I just, you know, cried out to God. I longed to be in the church life. So even though I was in graduate school, every Friday noon, I'll drop my books, take the subway, and go to Queens and stay in Dunton House. And spend the whole weekend there and didn't return to campus until Monday noon. Saints, that's 3 days out of a week I didn't touch a book in graduate school. But I graduated. I did okay. And enjoyed the church life thoroughly. And so then, I'm losing my train of thought here. Yeah, so then I started working. And then I moved to, because of my job, I moved to Houston. And I must say, saints, I never felt I either belong to the world or that a profession is something that I want to make something out of it. In my whole professional life, I've never asked for more responsibility. It was always my superiors pulling me, literally kicking and screaming, to take more responsibility. During my 33 years of professional life, I did not attend one single Christmas party. I never took up golf. My boss told me, if you want to be a manager and you don't play golf, you're going to be a failure. I didn't care. But the company kept promoting me. And but I never sensed, brothers and sisters, that I belong either to the world or to that company. And so as the years went by, I began to have a feeling, I need to give my life to the Lord, you know? Okay, so I began to consider that. Then in 1977, before I went to Houston, actually, Brother Lee issued a call for the young people to go to Boston and to Anaheim for short training. And at that time, Brother Lee was prepared to send the young people to Europe. Then there was a storm. But that was the Lord's sovereignty. Can you imagine? At that time, there was no, the life studies had just begun, right? In 75, I believe. And then there was no recovery version. There's no full-time training. There's no high peak of the revelation. And so we would have made a mess if we went to Europe at that time. So Brother Lee put on hold the burden for Europe, even though that burden was still in him all the time, right? And then in 1985, when Brother Lee went to Taiwan, okay, so for me to go to Boston, I was 3 months married and had a good job, so I quit my job and went to Boston. Why? Because Brother Lee issued the call. That's all. We didn't have any analysis. I'm not suggesting, saints, that we just do things wantonly. But that was the era. We had that spirit to follow the ministry in a faithful way. And then in 1985, when Brother Liu went to Taiwan to start, you know, at that time called the New Way, and the full-time training, again, in fellowship, I quit my job, and we went to Taiwan and served the Lord for full-time for close to 2 years. And then because of the circumstances, I went back to work again. But then anyway, as the years went by, I just felt more intensely the desire to give my life to serve the Lord full-time. I didn't want to work for an earthly enterprise until full retirement, when time would be available, but who knows what my health situation would be. In fellowship with a brother, he said, you know, assuming other conditions are met on the spiritual side, the two most important factors to serve the Lord is, number one, energy, number two, time. You know? And so I realized that. So I began to deal with the Lord and made a deal with the Lord that if certain conditions are met, then I'll go full-time. That was around when I was around the age of 50 already. Well, time came and went. The conditions were met, and I demurred. But the feeling within me, just the intensity just got more and more. So what I did is that I began to pay attention to the Lord speaking in the meetings and to pay attention to the Lord speaking in the ministry. So every time in a morning revival, I saw something that spoke to me about, you know, something of giving our lives to the Lord or something relevant to migration, I would underline it. So eventually I had a stack of morning revivals. And then in 2000, so I started fellowshipping with the brothers. Then in 2006, in the Memorial Day conference in Phoenix, is when brothers, in a fresh way, issued a call to migrate to Europe. At that time, The brothers wanted to do it in a very good way, orderly way. So the countries that were open for migration were the UK, Ireland, Germany, and France, I believe. So I felt, I don't speak German, I don't speak French. Lots of English speakers, I can migrate to the UK and Ireland. So that's not, you know, it's not for me to migrate to these countries. Then the very next training, I believe, Spain and Portugal were opened up. Then I realized, this is the time. So in 2007, I made a decision in September to go to my big boss and resign. That very day, brothers and sisters, an executive came to my office and offered me a very, very good position. I took that, not from the enemy, I took that as a test from the Lord. Whether I had resolved to that very day go resign. So I knew right there and then, after he left the room, a little bit confused why I didn't jump up at the opportunity, because I told him I'd get back to him a little bit later, I went to my big boss and I resigned. And then that was September, then 2008, early 2008, we migrated to Europe. And brothers and sisters, throughout this whole experience, there was just a peace, a real peace. And so I really felt that the Lord was the initiator, and hopefully he will sustain us in his power, and that all this be for his glory. And so I'd just like to offer to you three verses, which I shared in a previous occasion. You know, in Judges 5, verses 16 first, and then verse 15. Verse 16 says that the divisions of Reuben had great searchings of heart. We do need to search in our heart for the Lord's leading. And then the previous verse, verse 15, it says that the divisions of Reuben had great resolutions of heart. Don't just search. If you have some clarity, you need to resolve, right? And then Daniel 11:32, the people who know their God, show strength and take action. So anyway, this is my testimony. How the Lord will lead you, you will need to be before the Lord. I've shared with many young saints that ultimately it's a very solitary decision in the sense, right? We do have the confirmation of the body, but we need to be very clear unto the, before the Lord ourselves. So may everything that you do, saints, be according to his will, in his power, and for his glory. Amen. Amen.
About 2 weeks ago, I was in Berlin and traveled with two brothers, Arabic-speaking brothers, to the other side of town, in which we were scheduled to meet a refugee from Iraq. And this young man came up on the bus, and he met us in a kind of an open plaza area. We got on the bus and traveled to his apartment. We walked up five flights of stairs. I'm glad there wasn't a sixth. And as we arrived at his kind of small, rundown apartment, we sat in his kitchen, had some apple juice, and we proceeded to have fellowship for 5 hours. Nonstop, all about the Lord, all about what the Lord is doing today in Europe and in Germany. And I have to say that this was not an unusual experience. This young man, actually, he showed us a picture of what he was about 4 or 5 years ago. And, you know, you would see that kind of a picture on a wanted poster. He was a kind of iman. He was a teacher in the Islamic faith. And he was hardcore. But the Lord Jesus proceeded to bother him in his dreams. And he experienced the Lord coming to him on four different occasions in his dreams. And then eventually he made his way to Germany about a year and a half, 2 years ago. And he was in a meeting where an Egyptian pastor or preacher was giving a kind of gospel message. And he declared to the congregation, "You have opposed God even though you think you serve God, you have killed people, you have burned homes, you have persecuted the believers, all in the name of religion. You need to repent. And he realized as this word was going out, the preacher was talking about him. And he stood up and he declared, "That's me. That's me." And he was sobbing and he fell on the ground. A couple of brothers came around and prayed. And he considers that he really met the Lord during that time. Well, we were referred to him because we were told that this brother now, and he's a genuine brother, has a heart for the gospel, for the Arabs that are now living in Germany. And it was clear he has a heart for the gospel. He produces YouTube videos. He does a lot of things to try to get the gospel out. It was very interesting. He said his biggest problem in these days is really with Christianity. The reason he said this is because, why don't they follow the Bible, he said. The Bible has everything we need. Why do they come up with so many other things outside the Bible? And then at another point, he referred to 2 Peter 1, partakers of the divine nature. And he said, we are partakers of God. And so at that point, we began to have some fellowship with this Iraqi refugee concerning the high peak of the divine revelation. Amen. Yes, we are partakers because God wants us to be the same as he is. Amen. And whenever he heard something he liked, he would say, amen, and he would pound his fist. Well, for the last hour or so of that fellowship, there was a lot of fist pounding and a lot of amens, because we talked about partaking of God. We talked about God's desire is that man would be the same as he is in life and in nature, yet we would not assume the Godhead. So he asked us, well, what is your mission here? What is your goal? We described our history, that we've been there for in Germany since the fall of 2015. We've met people from all kinds of places in all kinds of situations. Our realization is that these are sheep cast away without a shepherd, and how the Lord is looking to shepherd so many of them into his house. He really appreciated that. But we said, you know what? That's still not the goal. The goal is that the Lord would gain a bride. This bride would be prepared in the churches, and that this bride would match the Lord in that the bride would be the same as he is. And that this bride would be so attractive to the Lord that the bride would bring him back. Well, there was a lot of fist pounding and a lot of amens. We said, what we've shared with you, not too many people realize, but that's the bullseye and that's the target. We're here in Germany with a burden and a view to use this current situation for the preparation of the bride. And so he was quite excited, and we made an arrangement that he would come visit us the following morning. He got up early. We met at 8 o'clock in the morning to have breakfast. One of the brothers shared with him about calling on the name of the Lord from the footnote in Acts 2. And the fellowship continues. Well, this is a kind of typical, I shouldn't say typical, it's not every day, but not at all unusual, that we would meet people in this kind of situation. Germany is a field that is ready for harvest. Yet at the same time, there's a lot of sowing that's needed, because we are making also, at the same time, we realize there is a need to touch the German people themselves. Amen. And so this past week in Berlin, there was a Christian festival, a kind of four-day event, with some commemoration of Martin Luther, 500th year anniversary of the Reformation. And I was there in Berlin when the planning was beginning for this time, and the thought was, well, let's see how many Bibles we can get. Let's do what we can to distribute, because we didn't learn about this event until rather late in the process. Well, as of last night, I believe the number was about 5,000 Bibles distributed to mainly Christians, and many of them seeking Christians, because we were told that mainly seeking Christians attend this kind of an event. And I just believe, saints, that even this time in Berlin could really be a turning point in the Lord's move in Germany, to bring about real revival in Germany. Well, the Lord has done his part. We've had conferences now on the world situation. We realize that in every situation in the world, the Lord is on the throne. Amen. And we also realize that he has a heavenly ministry. He's very active in his heavenly ministry. But what he needs today is a group of people that will cooperate with him. Amen. Who are the people cooperating with Christ in his heavenly ministry? What's needed is a group of people that will exercise their spirit to be one with the Lord in his heavenly ministry. Amen. And so we realize fully, and I don't nearly have the time to describe what you see in Germany, but the situation, in fact, talking to Tom Goetz before we came here a couple of weeks ago, he said, no one understands what's happening in Germany. Not even the co-workers understand what's happening in Germany. To see it is to believe it. And day by day, there are opportunities like the one I just described, in which there are hungry vessels. And even among the German people now, we're beginning to see hungry people in need of the ministry of the age. So, the Lord has set up a particular kind of situation that's without precedent. In fact, many times we look at one another, the brothers and sisters involved in this, and it's staggering. How do you address such a situation? You realize the Lord has done something very unique in world history to arrange an environment for us. The question is cooperation. Watchman Nee says in the collected writings that we can know God's will through the opportunities that he gives us. In fact, over half of God's will can be discerned through the opportunities that he gives us. Our problem is, he said, that many times we do not recognize the opportunities as they come before us. Saints, there is an opportunity of a lifetime right now in Germany. There is an opportunity of a lifetime right now in Europe. The Lord has done his part. The question is, will we do our part? Will we respond to what the Lord has done? Will we cooperate with the Lord in his heavenly ministry? Will we give him the ground, even in our own being? It's not just a question of what you would do here and how you would respond here. Even when you get to Europe, if you get to Europe, you have to be a person that's willing to fall into the ground and die. The only way the Lord's going to be able to really get what he's after is through some saints that will deny themselves, give up their own interests, will pay the price so that the Lord can get the glory. Amen. And this reminds me of the story, the woman and the alabaster box, a story that we all know. When we talk about even at young people's and university conferences, but saints, now is the time for the breaking of the alabaster box. You know, the Lord, again, has arranged everything in the environment. Our opportunity, just like the woman, she recognized she had a limited window of opportunity in which she could declare her love for the Lord. And so she took advantage of that opportunity, broke the alabaster box on the Lord, despite all the reasoning, despite all the problem the disciples had. Why this waste? Why would you? Well, there's so many better things you could be doing. Does that sound familiar? Well, maybe there's better things you can be doing, but what kind of an opportunity is this? to break our alabaster box on the Lord himself. Amen. And so the Lord's response to that declaration of love from the woman is that this would be a memorial to her. Brothers and sisters, I, in my lifetime, and I hope all of us in our lifetime, would want to raise up a memorial to the Lord. A memorial that we all can point to and say, that time, at that moment, I was willing, by the Lord's mercy, and it's only the Lord's mercy, none of us are anything, but through the Lord's mercy, we would give the Lord what he needed. We would give the Lord what he requires. We would give the Lord what he asks. And we would give the Lord what satisfies him. What a privilege it is, saints, as young people, this younger generation is being called by the Lord in a particular time, in a particular circumstance, to really consider before him, Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, how shall I respond? Amen. This is not a word for others. This is a word for us. And to be a young person at this time is a mercy and is a great privilege that there could be such an opportunity. I was with Jameson years ago, single brothers in New York City. And yes, we were all burning for the Lord. But the Lord in his sovereignty has come to a second generation. This is very much under the Lord's arrangement, very much under his provision, and may he really gain the cooperation that he needs from all of us. Amen. One final thing. To go to Europe does not mean, you know, you're an overcomer. I don't consider, and we, those of us in Europe, we don't consider that we're special. It's just, In our particular situation, the Lord called and we responded. This is altogether his mercy and his grace. The aim of what we do in Europe is that he would get the glory. Amen. There would be the way to put down his enemy. Amen. There would be the way to prepare the bride. And there would be the way to bring him back. Amen. What could be better than this? Praise the Lord. Amen. So, blessed are your ears. May you take all these words to the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, I think I really appreciate all these testimonies, especially of those who have gone, the younger ones with families. They just followed the Lamb wherever he would go. Amen. And the Lord has proven himself faithful. And anyone who would give himself to the Lord to meet the Lord's need and to move with him, to give up our comfortable life in the United States with some amount of security and would follow the Lord, would find the Lord to be very faithful and very much supplying every need that you have. You don't have to be afraid to go to Europe. There's nothing to fear. The Lord within you is moving. He's burdening you. He's calling you. You just need to follow him. Amen. And he will take care of everything. Amen. For sure. Now, it's not that you will not have hardships. But whether you go to Europe or you stay in the United States, you will have hardships, for sure. That's human life. But still, you will have the inner assurance that you are one with him. Amen. And the brothers have shared about the great need in Germany. It's like the Lord said, right? The harvest is white. The fields are white unto harvest, but the workers are few. We should all pray, whether we go or we don't, we should all pray that the Lord will thrust out workers into his harvest. Amen. And we should say, Lord, if you want me to be one of those workers, I open to you. Amen. And I trust that you will Give me the grace to follow you. Amen. And you will do everything that's needed. I was thinking about Abraham. We've heard this many times. The life of the altar and the tent. What does an altar mean? It means that all that I am and all that I have is not for me, but is for the Lord. Amen. It's for His eternal purpose. Amen. We all need to have an altar. Every one of us. What are we in the recovery for? Not for ourselves. We are here for Him. And we are here to give Him what He wants, what His heart has longed for since eternity past. We are the people positioned by Him to close the age. I believe the Lord wants to close this age. And He wants to gain our cooperation so that He can do it. That means that we need to open our being to Him, allow Him to work in us, allow Him to move in us, allow Him to spread Himself in our inner being, to grow in us, and also to move us if He will. Of course, Abraham had the altar, then he had a tent. The tent was a testimony that he was a sojourner on the earth, and that he was looking for a better country. And he was looking for the city which has the foundations. How Abraham saw the New Jerusalem, I have no idea. But he did. We all should live to be a part of the New Jerusalem. We all should live to consummate the New Jerusalem. Because that is our eternal destiny. Our eternal destiny is not to live a comfortable life on the earth. Our eternal destiny is to consummate God's economy. Amen. And we have everything we need. We have the ministry of the age. We have the open Bible. We have the sevenfold intensified spirit. All of us have this spirit within us. He's intensified to intensify His organic salvation in us, to make us His overcomers. Don't you want to be an overcomer? We all should say, Lord, I can't be, but I must be. I want to be, not for me, but for you. You need overcomers. Make me one. If you want to make me one, do it. Amen. I'm willing to be one. Amen. I want to be one. I don't want to live to myself. I want to live to you. Amen. So anyway, the need is great. And I think there is a need for young saints who are single, who would be open to study there. We all know that to be a student on a campus is a great advantage because you're among the students, you're among the local students, and they know you. You're legitimately there. No one will ask you, what are you doing on this campus? Because you have a reason to be there. You're a student. So it's very easy to contact the young Germans, if you're a student at the university. I don't know what the feeling is about having a team of full-timers who are not students, but I believe that would be useful also to take care of these young ones. I feel that it seems to me that the burden is that we would gain the young Germans. The young people are always more open than the ones who are more settled and occupied. So we need to go after the young Germans. We do need some older saints there, as Brother Lee said, to have a home near the campus that's open to receive them. But I think the older ones are very limited in what they can do to contact the students. So if you have the ability and the burden to study in Germany, that is a great thing. I believe the Lord. Apparently, you can do graduate studies there for no cost except for your living expenses. It's a wide open door, and I think it's not too hard to get into those schools. So, if you have a thought about going, just open your being to the Lord. Amen. Say, Lord, is this in your heart for me? Amen. Just be willing to let the Lord touch you, and He will supply you. My wife and I went to Poland in 1995. We weren't that young at the time. But I can testify that the 3 years we were there, we experienced the Lord's supply in a very rich way. Because we were there for the Lord's interests, we never missed the United States even for a moment. It was a culture shock to come back, tell you the truth. We were just there for the Lord's interests. We did have some hardships, but the Lord was faithful. And the supply was always there. I believe if any of you would be willing to go to Europe, it would be a memorial in your whole life. You would never forget such an experience. And if you can go there, like some of the ones who have gone, and stay there for 10 years, the rest of your life. When we moved to Poland, we had no intention to come back. We have no timetable. But nevertheless, we did come back because the brothers felt we should. But anyway, just go. Just go. And then look to the Lord step by step that he will supply you and he will keep on leading you. You will be useful there. For sure. You will be useful there. The Lord will use you very much. I just feel that we just need to be open and say, Lord, like Isaiah said, I'm a man of unclean lips, but Lord, here I am. Lord, send me. Why don't we all pray that to the Lord? Lord, send me. Why not, right? Why would you not pray, Lord, send me? You don't have to be afraid. Just open your being to the Lord and let him send you if he will. Of course, we saw that the Lord is the initiator, right? He has to be the initiator, not us. We are not volunteering. He's contacting us. He's coming to us. He's moving in us. He's giving us the inner sense, inner feeling. And when we fellowship with those around us, we get their confirmation. When we went to Poland, we fellowshipped and we got the confirmation in the body. So the body is there to support you with prayers, finances, all kinds of things, just so you can go and participate in the Lord's up-to-date move. Amen. So anyway, I just feel that we all need to build an altar to the Lord. Amen. Lord, I'm living on the earth for your eternal purpose. Amen. I am not living for myself. And Lord, I'm living in a tent. I am not establishing a permanent dwelling on this earth. I'm living in a tent so that you can move me if you want to do it. Amen. Be movable. Amen. Don't be fixed, but be movable. Amen. Let the Lord move you. When you are in the Lord's move, it's a marvelous thing to be in the Lord's move. Amen. It's as I said, it's a memorial in your whole life. Amen. Something you'll never forget. And something that you always be in, right? You always be in. So anyway, build an altar. Offer yourself and all that you have to him. And then consider your dwelling and everything related to you as a tent that you can easily take down and move somewhere else, right? We're living on this earth as sojourners. Just respond. Let the Lord move in you. Let the Lord burden you. Let the Lord confirm your burden by fellowship in the body, and then let the Lord send you and make a way for you to go. Amen.
It's on? Okay. Don't worry, I won't speak for 19 minutes, but just two. After my word yesterday, last night, of course, I was a little worried that everyone will go home and do nothing. Well, I just want to tell you that last night's word was just only half of the word. For the completed word, you need to get the book, Knowing Life and the Church, all right? So there's more speaking that follow the speaking on which last night's outline was based, where Brother Lee actually talk about working and moving and serving. The point here is this, that only those who have been knocked down can rise up. Only those who can stop can proceed. And only those who have learned the lesson of listening and waiting can be those who can serve and work for the Lord in cooperation with Him. So, far from a word to tell us to not do anything, last night's word is to prepare us to do something. So, I'd like to leave you with just 2 points. All that the burden was shared already, and that is this. Number one, that there's not only a sin to move and do and work and carry out something without God's word and commandment and appearance. But I'd like to tell you this afternoon, there is another sin, maybe just as serious, and that is that after you have the Lord's word and speaking and appearance, you would not obey His word. That is the other side, and there is the other sin. So I hope that all of us would be balanced in our understanding of this word and go forth and accomplish something according to His speaking to you. The second thing I would like to say is very simple, and that is, if we have His word, if we have His speaking, just like He spoke to Jeremiah, the Lord said this, I will be with you, and I will preserve you, and I will deliver you. So my brothers and sisters, if the Lord's word has come to you, if the burden of the Lord is upon you, I would say, those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength, and they will mount on eagle's wings. Don't worry, if the Lord has spoken, He is responsible. And He will take care of all of your needs. And He will fight for you. And He will do everything, because now you are not doing your work anymore. You are doing His work according to His agenda and according to His will and desire. So I say, go forth. Amen. Go forth to Europe, to Germany, by praying, by giving, and especially by going. Amen. Amen.
Let's spend maybe a minute to pray with our neighbor over what we have heard. Amen.
In an encouraging report to inspire us. But rather, we need to take these things before the Lord and have a specific transaction with Him concerning this burden. I think for too long, maybe we discount ourselves or we make excuses. We think, oh, I'll wait until I'm married with a family, then I'll go. Or then on the flip side, oh, I'm married, I have many kids, I can't go, I wish I was single. Brothers and sisters, we need to go before the Lord. And I hope in the coming days, weeks, and months, we would do that so that we could actively participate in this great move of the Lord.
Amen.
Just a few announcements. We actually had a lot of testimonies that we just did not have the time to present in an adequate way. But these testimonies will be posted on the Living to Him website. That's livingtohim, all one word, .com. So you could find that there. Also, if you would like to sign up with periodical Updates concerning this burden and other matters for the working saints, you are welcome to register with Living to Him. And finally, we just like all of you, you could take out your device, your phone, to put this address in. This is our way to have you sign in. In the past, we passed out a piece of paper, but we felt this would be the fastest way. And this is a bit.ly website. So it's http bit.ly/ all in caps MDC, standing for Memorial Day Conference, MDC 2017 WS, Working Saints. Okay, so that's MDC 2017 WS. We just ask everybody, you don't have to do it right now, as you exit, just to put in your name, your locality, and there's also a brief survey. And one final thing, if you have any testimonies related to praying, giving, or going for the Lord's move to Europe, we ask for you to also fill it out and send it to us so that we could post it, and it will be an encouragement to all the saints. Okay. Okay. Just to repeat it again, it's bit.ly/MDC2017WS. Okay, so I think we could be dismissed. Just as a reminder, we're not allowed to eat in this room, so if you have food, please eat it outside, or I think the concessions are open. But we'd like to thank everyone who came, and if you like to pass on this time to the saints in your locality, this has been recorded, and it will be posted on the Living to Him website. Thank you.